I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting,
everlasting rock. I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
My death was past, my judgment come. I trembled and my heart grew numb. The devil waved before the throne a sign where all my sins were shown. I looked and saw the sign was great in size. The type was small and tears came to my eyes. The devil sneered at my dismay and began to drag my sinking soul away. Where could my Savior be? I thought he'd die so I could be set free. Then Jesus strode into the room. He saw my sins, he saw my doom. He reached the throne and grabbed the sign, then turned to God and cried, "He's mine." I died for him, he trusted me. I rescued him, I set him free. I nailed his sins upon my tree. Now I'm with him and he's with me. He is now my property and he will live with me eternally. I died for him, he trusted me. I rescued him, I set him free. I nailed his sins upon my tree. Now I'm with him and he's with me. He is now my property and he will live with me eternally. And he will live with me eternally.
Thank you, men, for that song of assurance and affirmation. What a joy to know that I belong to him, and I hope you belong to him too. Welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ with the goal of fulfilling the Great Commission in our lifetime. On the international side of the ministry, we receive many testimonies of people whose lives have been transformed by the power of the gospel. They listen regularly and faithfully to our programs. And I'll share one of those testimonies from a listener with you in just a few moments. But before I do that, here's something we'd like you to do for us. We don't receive a lot of feedback from our listeners here in North America. So we created an online survey you can take to tell us what you think about this program, The Voice of Hope. The link for the survey is very simple. It's heraldsofhope.org/survey. That's heraldsofhope.org/survey. If you would be so kind as to fill that out for us, you will then be able to download a free digital item. We're offering a digital download of the classic story, Heidi, read dramatically by the founder of Heralds of Hope, the late Dr. J. Otis Yoder. Or you can choose a digital download of my teaching series from the Book of Malachi. Again, the link is heraldsofhope.org/survey. I'll remind you again at the close of the program. Now here's the testimony that I promised to you. It comes from a pastor who is serving in a remote area of Nepal. Nepal is a small country sandwiched between China on the north and India on the south. Here is what this pastor writes. I have been serving and doing evangelism work for 5 years. Many times I have been beaten up, and I have been told to leave this place because I'm not a local resident. But I would like to encourage you that the radio program is most needed and is powerful to share the good news and bring reformation in the lives of the people. I have been hearing the Heralds of Hope program from my local FM station. I found this biblical teaching program is so good that even though I am theologically trained, I still learn from your programs, and they help me in preparing my sermons. I am always encouraging my church members to listen. I know that people come to know the truth and come to the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ through your programs. The life of this pastor is like a living letter to those in his community and his congregation. Our Nepali language broadcasts air twice every week on numerous FM stations across the country of Nepal. If you're one of our listeners who helps to support our Nepali language programs, this pastor's thanks belong to you. God bless you. Now I invite you to stay tuned for today's teaching, Living Letters. When was the last time you received a handwritten letter? Has it been so long ago that you can't remember? Or maybe it was never. Letter writing is a dying art in our digital age. And if you've ever received a handwritten letter, you know how special it makes you feel. I've received emails and texts that have encouraged me and blessed me, but not in the same way a handwritten letter does. Maybe I'm showing my age by that statement. That's probably true. But all I can say is, if you've never received a handwritten letter, then you don't know what I'm talking about. In my mind, there's a personal investment in a handwritten letter that's missing in electronic forms of communication. So when someone takes the time to sit down and put pen to paper, it says something about the value they place on the person that they're writing to. And a personal letter also captures some of the personality and character of the writer. Aren't you glad today that God revealed His Word to holy men of old, as the Apostle Peter tells us? And aren't you glad that, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, they wrote down His message? And so today you and I have before us the Word of God in written form. And the Apostle Paul tells us that this Word of God is given for our benefit and is to equip us for every good work. So then, we turn our attention to the Word of God again today to discover some of that benefit and to learn how it equips us to better serve the Lord. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 6. So I invite you to listen carefully as I read, and as I do that, see if you can pick out the benefits that we receive from letters. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Living Letters is the subject of our text, and today we want to explore the value that you and I give and receive through those letters. The first value of living letters that I see is they provide information. Well, that's pretty simple, right? Why else do you write a letter? You have ideas you want to communicate to a person or persons who are going to receive the letter. When my wife and I were dating, there were a couple of times when we were separated by distance for several weeks, and so we wrote letters to each other. We still have those letters, and occasionally we'll get them out, usually on an anniversary, and reread some of them. Those letters were a way in which we communicated our interest in each other and developed our growing love story. Now, before we dive into the teaching from this text, let's again remember some of the background. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and as we learned earlier, he's defending his apostolic authority because there were those at Corinth who questioned that authority. So Paul begins by talking about letters of commendation, or we might say recommendation. And I understand from my study that this was a common practice in that day. And there are examples in the New Testament. One would be Acts 18 and verse 27, where the elders in Ephesus wrote a letter of recommendation for Apollos that he could carry with him to Achaia. And so a letter of recommendation said that the bearer of the letter was trustworthy and he should be treated accordingly. Today we might call this a referral letter. If you leave your job on good terms with your employer, you might ask him for a referral letter or a letter of recommendation. In that letter, he tells your prospective employer what your strengths and weaknesses are, and he might also tell the employer how you'll be an asset in your new workplace. But wouldn't it seem weird to write your own referral letter? Paul does it because he feels forced into it by his critics. Paul's critics wondered where his letters of recommendation were. It's believed that some of the false teachers in Corinth had actually forged letters of recommendation from the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. And they did that so that they would have standing in the community, in the church. Paul asks the Corinthians a question. He says, "Do I need letters of recommendation for you to accept me? Or do you need to provide letters of recommendation for me to the other churches?" No, of course not. He says, "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation. You are written on our hearts." Remember, Paul and his team had spent 18 months in Corinth discipling new believers. In other words, Paul was saying, if you want a letter of recommendation, just look at the impact of our ministry in Corinth. The existence of the church is proof of our divinely sanctioned and faithful ministry. It's true, changed lives are a powerful, living letter of recommendation. Most of you have probably heard the saying, your life is the only Bible that some people will ever read. You and I both know that many people will never pick up a printed copy of the Scripture, but they will notice its truth when it's being lived out in your life. Has anyone ever asked you what's different about you? I had a man ask me one time on the street, "What's different about you? You look so peaceful." Those kinds of questions open the door for us to share about what Christ has done in us and for us. And so, your life is a living letter. The question is, what kind of information does it give to those who look on, those who observe your lifestyle choices and the way that you respond to the circumstances of daily living? And then there's another value of living letters. It is they provide explanation. The opening of a letter often starts with an overview of the main idea or an introduction, and then later in the letter, that idea is explained or expanded in more detail. Now, I realize that applies more to business letters than personal ones, but at any rate, Paul takes time to enlarge on what he means by calling the Corinthian believers living letters. He says, "You are a letter of Christ written by the Spirit of God through our ministry." Let's unpack that a bit. The Holy Spirit, through the ministry of Paul and his team, brought about transformation in the lives of the Corinthian converts. And that transformation was undeniable, living proof that documented the work of Christ in their lives. And you know something? It still works that way today. If you and I are genuinely converted, then we can't hide the results. People will see the difference. And the reason this is true is because, as Paul says, the Spirit of God writes the person and the character of Christ on our hearts. Now, when something is written on our heart, that means we have a conviction or a belief that is based on our inward experience. The truth engages our conscience, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, it enables us to make godly choices. And then Paul contrasts the Mosaic law, which was written or engraved on tablets of stone, with the law of Christ, which is written or engraved on our hearts. And it's interesting to me that when Paul says the Spirit of God has written on our hearts, The grammar indicates that this writing is the finished result of a previous action. What I mean by that is, at the point in time when we allow the Holy Spirit by faith to engrave the work of Christ on our hearts, we become a letter of Christ, a proof of Christ to the world around us. We become, in the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, a new creation in Christ. The Mosaic Law was engraved on stone by the finger of God. It revealed the requirements He put in place for a sinful people to approach a holy God. But according to the biblical record, that engraving didn't make it from the stone tablets onto the hearts of the people. Because it was an external law, it only exposed sin. It didn't have the power to bring about life change. Why? Because of the weakness of our sinful flesh, our sinful human nature, according to Paul's words in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. Now, the Corinthians, whose lives had been transformed by the power of Christ, became, as it were, an engraving to those around them. The indelible imprint of Christ was on them, and they couldn't hide it. People could see it. Now notice verse 4. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Paul is appealing to the Corinthian believers through his confidence in Christ. You know, there was a lot of weaknesses and division in the Corinthian church, but in spite of those, there was evidence of Christ's presence in them. Paul, as their spiritual father, was deeply concerned about their spiritual well-being, but he realizes that ultimately the person and the power of Christ will bring about that life change. And you know, you and I need to remember that too. We need to remember that all believers are on a journey, and we're not all at the same level of maturity. Just because someone is immature doesn't mean they're not a believer. We need to learn to be patient with them, just as others were patient with us. And I'm so grateful for the patience God and others have shown to me in my journey. So does your life letter give an explanation to the world of what has happened inside you through Jesus? And then there's a final value of living letters. It is they provide affirmation. A few years ago, I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to write several letters to people who had had a major impact on my life as a young man. I thank them for the time and energy they invested in my life, and I also thank them for their patience with me in my immaturity. Some of them wrote back. They sent a written reply. But I learned later, through the grapevine as we say, that one of those who didn't respond in writing received my letter at a time of much discouragement. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." My letter encouraged them and affirmed the value of their ministry. And I believe Paul's second letter to the Corinthians was meant to do that for them too. Now, when I study the scriptures, I keep a lookout for things that are emphasized by repetition. And there's something here that caught my attention. In just three verses, Paul uses this same word, or a variation of it, four different times. You'll find it in chapter 2, verse 16, and here in our text, in verses 5 and 6. The King James Version translates it as sufficient, sufficiency, or able. Bill Mounts is a Greek scholar whom I've learned to appreciate, and he translates it as adequate, or adequacy. It includes the ideas of being able or being competent. Now, for any minister of the gospel, or any believer for that matter, our confidence shouldn't rest in our adequacy for the task of being a living letter. If you and I feel like we're sufficient to serve the Lord with our talents and abilities, we're only kidding ourselves. It reminds me of something I read about J. Oswald Sanders. He was a godly man, and he was a former director of the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, and he once wrote about a position that he wanted to fill. And he was contemplating lobbying for that position, and at one point he was walking through the city of Auckland, New Zealand, and part of a verse of the scripture from the prophet Jeremiah came to his mind, and this is what it was. "And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them." Oswald Sanders said later, "You know, those words came to me just as though it was God speaking audibly. There were crowds all around me, and no one else heard the voice, but I sure heard it. He said, I believe that was a real turning point in my service for the Lord. And so as a result of that prompting from God, he never sought the position, but later it became open to him in God's timing. And I would remind us, it is so much better for us to wait for God's timing in expanding our area of service, because his call and timing bring affirmation that it's really him who is calling us. So our sufficiency, or our ability, our competence, is from God. You and I don't have the power within us to bring about life change in other people. Only God can do that. So Paul says that God made us, and in the context he's referring to the apostles, but it also includes you and me as Christ followers. God has made us sufficient or competent ministers of a new covenant that was inaugurated by Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that God has equipped you and me for the work of sharing the gospel. As we acknowledge him and serve under his inspiration, he makes our service fruitful in his kingdom. And then I want you to notice how Paul contrasts the letter and the Spirit. He says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if you had a choice of which of those you would serve and promote, which one would you choose? I know, that's kind of a silly question. The Old Covenant was a covenant of externals, and it only served to remind those under it that they could never live up to it. It made heavy demands, but it didn't provide any inner power to live in obedience. It commanded and imposed a punishment for disobedience, and sometimes that punishment was death, but it gave no power to obey. That's the record of what we call the Old Testament. In contrast, then, the New Covenant is a living force. Instead of attempting to suppress sinful behavior through the threat of punishment, it brings about a change within us, a change on the inside. And that change sets us free from the controlling passions of the flesh. It provides both the desire and the power to live in obedience to Christ, the one who sets us free. And in that way, it gives us life, and as Jesus said, abundant life. So, have you experienced the reality of the new covenant? Has your life been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit living in you? If so, then you are a living letter, bringing information, explanation, and affirmation of the abundant life to those who are watching you. May God continue to write your living letter for his glory. Thank you, choir. My prayer is that God will continue to write his living letter through my life. If you're joining me in that prayer and desire, then I'd like to hear from you. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or you can send your comment by mail to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can also use that same contact information to request a digital or print copy of today's teaching, Living Letters. To review today's program or to listen to archived programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen when it's convenient for you. And if you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and then follow us on our various social media platforms. Again, I remind you that we've created an online survey so you can tell us what you think about this program, The Voice of Hope. The link for the survey is very simple. It's heraldsofhope.org/survey. If you'll be so kind as to fill that out for us, you will then be able to download a free digital item. We're offering a digital download of the classic story, Heidi, read dramatically by the founder of Heralds of Hope, the late Dr. J. Otis Yoder. Or you can choose a digital download of my teaching series from the book of Malachi. And we invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. And of course, you can mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue in our study in the book of 2 Corinthians. And until we meet again, remember to be encouraged by this reality.
Oh.